Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out of the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C. Murray.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Randy Rand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records reveal that any shit a rapper that's coming up, get them put on. We need the platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering graphics, just shadow the time. Check out the archives and lunch with the shows. Plenty of content to you to get through. Everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real reverse.
We got
trouble
with you, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we show love to all you fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop, AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hips. Tupac and B, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangsta, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Murder Master Music Shows, episode 575, and we're about to close out year number 6. You know what I'm saying? I definitely look forward to seeing every one of you guys in year 7. We're going to keep it going. Tonight we got a very special show. You know what I'm saying? The homie K-Reno's back. Dude never ceases to amaze me, man, because he dropped 7 albums on one day back in 2016. Still hadn't been touched yet. Now he's getting ready to drop 4 albums on the same day, called the 4-piece. And we're going to find out about that. I also want to find out about K-Reno Radio. And, of course, his YouTube channel, you know what I'm saying, we're going to get into all that real soon. I want you to make sure to tune in tomorrow night, same place, same time. We got the Super Smash Brothers out of Indiana, you know what I'm saying, they're going to be on. They got a new project coming out actually tomorrow. We're going to talk about it, you know what I'm saying. And, other than that, you know what I'm saying, these last 2 episodes of the year, hope you enjoy them, you know what I'm saying. We look forward to adding many more people to the archive next year. You know, it's going to be a good year. I can tell the music is coming from all angles, man, all corners of the globe, man. I'm looking forward to it. I see our guest is in the building, via phone. You know, say he has a radio show where the guest comes to the building, man. I want to talk about that. The one and only K-Reno, man. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm great, man. How you been, my brother? How y'all doing?
Man, doing real good, Kay, you know, and I was real excited, you know, first and foremost, to find out that you were dropping another project, you know what I'm saying, because you already dropped, you know, Mightier Than the Sword earlier this year. Now you're going to drop 4 projects on the same day, which is something that's not new to you, but then again, you know, well, you never really dropped 4 albums on the same day. You dropped 7. What's it like dropping 4?
Man, well, I don't know yet. I did 3, I think, in 2008 when I did the Triple Darkness. But I'm just looking forward to it because I like to give my supporters bunches, just chunks of music like that, because I'm blessed to be an artist who they don't really seem to get tired of it. So as long as they are accepting of it and they don't have a problem with the quantity, and if the quality can match the quantity, then I should be good. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you touched on that because, you know, there's demand for it. People want, you know what I'm saying? I think what it is, Kay, they know that you're the coldest motherfucker spitting. You know what I'm saying? They're fiending for that. Because, you know, in hip-hop right now, let's be real, lyrics is lacking. I mean, you and I know where it's at, you know what I'm saying? We know where the talented cats are. But most people don't. All they hear is what they see in, you know, mainstream. You know, how important is it for you to, so to speak, hold the torch in the underground, you know what I'm saying, on the lyrical supremacy tip, man? Because you've been killing it for years.
I think what's important to me is the level of consistency, because that is something I think about when I think about a lot of the other great lyricists that have been around and that are still around, but they don't drop as frequent as I would like for them to, and I'm sure as their main core audience would like for them to. So my thing is to not leave my fans in limbo like that, to always be dependable in terms of them being able to say, okay, I know something's coming from this guy soon. And it may be one, it may be multiple, but something's coming from this guy. And that's what's big to me. I think what happens with a lot of guys is that they'll come out and you have like years, literally years in between releases. And that's like a big disappointment to their fan bases, especially if they wait years for their favorite artist to come out, and then after waiting those years, then they drop a below-average, a mediocre project, and that's really disappointing. So I try not to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because you're right. You know, sometimes, you know, you wait and wait and wait. Like, I remember the group Second to None, phenomenal group, you know what I'm saying, early 90s Compton. They had one of the dopest albums of 91. It was self-titled. And they didn't drop another album for like over a decade. And when they finally did, I was just wanting that original Second to None. You know, I don't think I got it to that level. So I hear you, man. A lot of cats do that, you know. But you, man, like you said, you're giving them quality music consistently, you know. And that's got to be hard to do. Now, you got four albums dropping. I'm looking at the album covers right now. You got Lightning Language, Then and Now, 3 weeks later, and the S Project. Let's start with Lightning Language. I take it that's the first one in the group. Now, what can you tell us about this project? Like, what can we expect on this one, Kay?
Yeah, it's basically titled after one of the songs that's on the album, and it's a lyrical track, and you know, I pretty much pride myself, that's my foundation, so I just wanted to name it after that particular track. It sets the tone, in my opinion, because it's like, this is what's going to happen. Even if it's not a lyrical song, it's going to be a lot of electrical lightning language on this project, period. Not just that first album. So I like to set the tone when they hear that first one, and then kind of let people just coast in from there, because this project can almost be called a concept album in a way, but not quite, because there are topics that are interconnected and songs that are connected to each other that will be, you would have to listen to the whole project in order, kind of like on the 7, to really get the feel of it. And I think people will enjoy it. I can't give away everything about it, but I think once people listen to it, some new storylines that I haven't explored yet, and I think people are going to like it. I hope they do anyway.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing about you, too. You never run out of material. You know, a lot of guys, you know, they get, writer's block, so to speak, and you just keep coming up with fresh ideas, man. You know, I'm still tripping on that one song on Making Enemies. Man, it's where you're in the womb with your twin, and the name will come to me eventually, but... the concept of that song was crazy because you didn't know what was going to happen until the very end of it. You know, do you like giving fans tracks like that where it keeps them guessing and then boom, you hit them with something and they're like, oh shit.
Oh,
kinda
yeah,
like
no
a
doubt,
flash
no
backwards.
Doubt. Yeah, no question, because it's like watching a movie, watching a suspense thriller where it just keeps you on the edge and you either it just shocks you at the end or it tricks you because you thought that it was headed in one direction and it was going to end a certain way and then it winds up finishing something that you had never even considered being a possibility for it to end in that particular way. So I try to do that a lot in my songs, in my storytelling, and because, you know, we've had these conversations, you know, before. You know, storytelling is such a lost art in rap today. You know, nobody's telling stories and creating plots and storylines and characters. Nobody's doing that. Even in movies, nobody's doing it. They're just recycling old crap. You know, so
yeah.
I think that's a lane that if more artists started to explore that lane, it could be beneficial to them and it could spark a lot of imagination and more creativity, competitive creativity among other artists, because I feel like I'm the only one doing what I do in terms of storytelling the way I do it. And a lot of the guys that are telling stories, it's real basic, it's real superficial, or it's not nothing that's gripping the minds of the people like it used to be, you know, back in the day. So if they want to let me have that to myself, cool, I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about the next one, then we're going to go to a break real quick. This one's called Then and Now, man. Love the cover concept. You know what I'm saying? Got the map of Texas going on. You and the SPC up in there, man. What's up with this project, Kay?
Yeah, well, shout out to Jay Walker who did those covers. He did all four. He did all of the seven. He's probably done my last 15 album covers, I'm estimating. So I just basically pitch him the concept and where I want to go with it, and then he puts it together. Then and Now, again, the same thing. It's a song title on one of the albums. And I wanted to name the album after that because it kind of covers the ground from how things used to be back in the days compared to how they are now. And it's not to say that one is better or one is worse. You're going to always be biased based on the generation that you're from. But it's basically just to say how back then we did this or we had this or we had to do it this way because this didn't exist was out now. So it's just basically just a comparison, and the cover consists of just old pictures of me then, pictures of me now, just pretty self-explanatory on that.
Oh yeah, definitely. We're gonna go to the track real quick. You know what I'm saying? I got one of the classics here. I'll tell you what we're going to go with, man. Let's go with American Heroes, you know what I'm saying, in honor of Donald J. Trump.
no doubt.
A.K.A. the Grinch that stole everything. We'll be right back with Kay Reno right here for the Master Music Show.
All right, boys and girls. My name is Mr. Kay Reno. I'm going to be your substitute history teacher for the day. Right about now, I want y'all to sit down and shut up. Because I'm about to give y'all some real history lesson. Hey, boy, did I tell you to sit down and shut up? All right, don't make me say it no more. Listen, way back when I was a little boy, they told me about a man who had traveled on a ship to a faraway western land. Gave him credit for discovering it, though it was inhabited, and quickly changed the narrative. Said the natives were savages, they ravaged it, and murdered the people in high numbers. His name was Cristobal Colon, but you called him Columbus, a sick murderous bastard who beat babies to death. But you celebrate his holiday every October 12th. Now let's move to George Washington, the Declaration.
made a general, a dirty individual. His actions were criminal, despite his wicked ways. He's elevated and raised. Mr. Cannot Tell a Lie owned at least 300 slaves. Understand, Chief, Washington's wickedness ran deep. Yeah, the father of this country's a killer and land thief. Control, power, and war, only things he ever loved. But history makes him out to be something he never was. American hero, American heroes. Everything that we think we know about him needs to be rewrote. Got racists on your 10s and your 20s and on your C-notes. But somehow these the ones that we see in everywhere we go. American heroes, American heroes. Everything that we think we know about him needs to be rewrote. Got racists on your 10s and your 20s and on your C-notes. But somehow these the ones that we see in everywhere we go. Abraham Lincoln was a good old man. He jumped out the window with his, nah, I'm just playing. His favoritism for slavery was self-documented. Didn't want to stop or end it. There was too much profit in it. See, Honest Abe used to mock crack jokes and admonish slaves.
Read it.
He only let them go for the union he wanted saved. Pull out a $100 bill, homie, and look at Ben. Then study him and see he was one of those crooked men. All of the faces that they exalted to greatness is fakeness. Did you know Thomas Jefferson was a rapist? Go and try to defend him. Straight savage within him. Hated the black man, but he loves smashing his women, Sally Hemings. You'll probably trick a few, but not me. Guess I gotta go in detail on Francis Scott Key. If you heard the third verse of that racist national anthem, then whether black, white, or brown, nobody should be standing. American hero, American heroes. Everything that we think we know about them needs to be rewrote. Got racists on your 10s and your 20s and on your C-notes. But somehow these the ones that we see in everywhere we go. American hero, American heroes. Everything that we think we know about them needs to be rewrote. Got racists on your 10s and your 20s and on your C-notes. But somehow these the ones that we see in everywhere we go. There's no doubt, United States time and being out. I'm about to call these men out. Get your pad and pen out. All the great Americans that you holding in high acclaim. I'ma tell you about a few of them and call them by their names. These men are not worthy of praise. You've been forsaken. You won't find no more racist president than Ronald Reagan. Invasion after invasion, innocent lives taken, and countless racial epithets and off-the-record statements. Henry Kissinger, backed by the government, he was worse. He was down to kill 2 or 3 billion across the earth. Poor people in third world countries would get it first. All that's needed to find truth is working research. Margaret Sanger, the human clothes hanger, an evil lady, created Planned Parenthood to wipe out black babies. No time to call them all, so go look them up if you have to. The Rockefellers, Rothschilds, and both them Bush bastards. American hero, American heroes. Everything that we think we know about them needs to be rewrote. Got racists on your 10s and your 20s and on your C-notes. But somehow these the ones that we see in everywhere we go. American hero, American heroes. Everything that we think we know about them needs to be rewrote. Got racists on your 10s and your 20s and on your C-notes. But somehow these the ones that we see in everywhere we go.
So, Tommy, how was school today?
Daddy, I don't want to go to that school anymore.
What do you mean, son?
The teacher was saying some things, Daddy.
Things like what?
Well, he was talking real mean about Christopher Columbus and George Washington. I never heard anything like that before, Dad.
Yeah, that's right. If you'd have taught him the truth, I wouldn't have had to
what
do all
hell?
That. I'm busting all them lies up.
What are you doing in my house?
Don't worry about all that. I know one thing. He better have his little ass back in school tomorrow. Because I got some more for him.
I'm calling the police.
Shut up.
Pure knowledge, friend. Pure knowledge, Kay. Man, can we get a remix with Donald Trump?
Oh, man, look, it's enough information out there about false American history that's been misrepresented and documented in the wrong way. We could probably make 10 albums on those kind
worth
of topics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love those songs too because, you know what I'm saying, they're eye-openers. I like to play them for people who are in doubt. you know, who haven't fully been awoke, so to speak. Yeah, man, we got this four-piece dropping. When are you dropping it, Kay? I know it's going to be available online and physical.
Yeah. It ought to be shipping out in about 2 weeks. We'll start shipping out the first units. We've been getting a lot of pre-orders, and we just want to keep the pre-orders coming, and we'll make it available on all the digital platforms around that same time. So maybe the first week, the ending of the first week of January, everything will be, people will have physicals in hand, and they'll be able to get the digitals also.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everybody listening, if you want to pre-order, go to southparkcoalition.net. Pre-order them now. But the next album, you know what I'm saying, the third album, 3 weeks later, I love the cover for this one. You know what I'm saying? Got a calendar on there. And, again, this one, I take it after another song? Or?
Yeah, it's all in line with the theme of the album. It hurts that I can't just give it away. I can't even give a hint. But the beauty of it is that once everybody listens to the project, they're going to understand all that. They'll understand that 3 weeks later cover once they hear the songs. So that's the cool part about it, because just on the surface, people will be like, well, what is this supposed to mean? You know, but once you hear everything from album one to album four, then, okay, I got it now.
Yeah, that's who does that with music, you know what I'm saying? You are the only one that gives somebody that, and not just one album's worth, you're giving them four albums worth. And then the fourth one, of course, is the S Project. And tell us about the S Project.
Yeah, and that would probably be the only one that I don't have a problem just giving away. I mean, it's the S Project. Every song on the album starts with S. That's why it's like, okay, all these titles, every song title begins with the letter S. So even the outro, I put an S in front of the outro, so it's like the Soutro, you know. So that's why we named it the S Project. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough, man. That's what's up. You know what I'm saying? And another thing I noticed, too, you got a YouTube page popping off, which everybody please go subscribe. What's it, The Real K Reno?
Yes, sir. At The Real, well, it's The Real K Reno. I keep thinking about Twitter. But, yeah, it's The Real K Reno. And so far, you know, it's been pretty good. We're coming up on, like, 13,000 subs. But it's still a learning process with the whole YouTube thing, because it's when you're working on something like that, you kind of realize it's kind of like Facebook and all of the other social networks, whereas you have a lot of people who they subscribe or they follow or whatever the case may be, but all of these people are not fully engaged in the channel. And that's the challenge that I'm trying to work out. You have this many people on your in your network, but these people are not engaging. They're not purchasing the music. They're not following every post. So you got to try to figure out a way to market and promote the channel better, and market and promote your brand and your project better, in order to consolidate everybody and get everybody together at one time where you can really max it out. Because it's more than just music, you know. If you're looking for just information and some knowledge here and there, just a little entertainment here and there, it's more than just the music. So that's what I'm working on now, trying to master the ability of bringing everybody together and not just having people just bandwagon. Well, I'm gonna subscribe to the page, and then they don't have the notifications on when you put something new up, and just things of that nature. If you're gonna ride with us, ride with us, basically.
Yeah. I feel that one. That's how it is with our channel. You know, we'll put up a video of somebody that no one's not that familiar with. You know what I'm saying? They won't even fuck with it hardly. But if we put up some bullshit about Eminem or something,
you know, Eminem got beat up in 1998 or something. Watch it. You know, I mean, it's just
10 million views, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how it is. But you put up a video the other day. You're talking about gentrification of different neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? And that happens a lot in Chicago too.
Right.
Where people come in and just buy it up. One thing you said in there, you know, the hood needs to buy from the hood.
Yeah.
How do you get that to happen at a time and age, you know what I'm saying, where it's just not. You got like these pretty much yuppies and hipsters coming in and doing what they want in various neighborhoods. How do you stop that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a collective effort that has to take place because, like I said in the video, the people who are coming in and purchasing up the property, they're not in the wrong. They're not wrong for that because this is business. So at the end of the day, if some property is for sale and available at a cheap price and you are a business person, a real estate person, whatever, a person with some money, then you're well within your rights to go in and purchase that property. Now, the problem is that when you talk about the black neighborhoods, in particular Latino neighborhoods, you have a lot of individuals who are living in those neighborhoods who are poor people who may not have the ability to purchase it, just say, you know what, I don't even own my own house. I can't do that. But if there's ways to pool your resources, where we say, well, man, it might take 5 or 10 of us to get together and do it, we could possibly do it. Then you have these artists. You have the rappers. You have athletes. So many rich and famous people that are located locally in every city, not just Houston. You have people that are from Chicago that made it out of Chicago. You have football players from Detroit that made it out of Detroit. The responsibility has to be on us to say, okay, you know what, let's go back to the neighborhoods we grew up in and actually purchase up some of these land. We can buy some of this land. We can buy this particular building and make it low rent, low income housing, things of that nature. So it's a collective thing. The third piece to that is to also spread the knowledge of that to our brothers and sisters who don't know, because a lot of people is like, well, I don't know nothing about that. I've never heard of doing anything on that level. I just went and bought me a home in the rich neighborhood. That's just what I did. So they didn't know any better. So there has to be seminars. There has to be ways to educate our young, rich athletes and entertainers so they'll be able to say, okay, this is something that I want to do. Because, like I said in the video, the first thing we think about when we make some money, man, I got to get out the hood. Got to get my mom out the hood. It's like, no, you're making a mistake. Make the hood better. Make the hood, as Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, make your own neighborhood a decent place to live. And if we are able to operate on that principle and make our own neighborhoods a decent place to live, the same way the people are doing with the gentrification. You pass through some of the worst slums that were there 10, 15 years ago, and it's just they beautified these areas. These areas are beautiful now. But it's buildings and lofts and townhomes that are unaffordable to the poor people or the people who grew up in those communities.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, man. It's got to change. It's like LeBron James, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know me. I'm MJ all the way, but we're not going to get into that debate. But LeBron James doesn't get credit.
On the court, I'm MJ all the way.
Yeah.
Off the court, me too. Team LeBron all day long.
Yeah, because he does a lot of good. He really does. I mean, the schools he builds and things of that nature. We need to see. You're right. We need to see more of that. And there's people that can that got so much money, they could go to a jewelry store and spend what they could use to buy 4 or 5 people houses in one day on jewelry, rather than you know, doing something like that. And it needs to happen. Definitely needs to happen. But, yeah, I love the YouTube channel because people, like you said, you get all kinds of different, you know what I'm saying, knowledge. All the music is there. But also, you put clips of your interviews up there. And first and foremost, congratulations on the radio show. It's a phenomenal show.
I'm looking at the guests over here for the fans that haven't checked it out yet. You're talking about DJ Premier, you know, Razzcast, Willie D, Scarface, Trey the Truth. So many legends and pioneers, man. What's it like for you to be able to interview all these guys? I already know the answer because I've been doing it for a while. I love it. You know what I'm saying? But what's it like for another legend and pioneer as yourself to interview other legends and pioneers?
It's a blessing and it's an honor because I'm a guy who I never saw myself doing radio. I was kind of talked into it by a good friend of mine, and when he first asked me if I would be interested in doing it, I said no. And then the second I hung the phone up, I called him right back, and I was like, you know what, man, I think I will try that. You know, I give it a try. So it's been an honor because it humbled me because it gave me an opportunity to just really kind of understand how a lot of these great legends that I've been able to interview, they show love and respect for me. And, you know, that's what I get out of it the most. It's like, wow, you know, these guys, I didn't know this guy even followed me like that or knew me like that. And so that was one of the biggest gratifications I get out of it. But also, nights where we don't have guests, we just cover topics. And those are probably my favorite shows because of the fact that we get a lot done within that short hour that we have to be able to just discuss certain topics and things that are going on in the world and give the people who call in an opportunity to speak on it as well. And I've been able to kind of extract little bits and pieces from the people that I've been working with and then interviewing on their shows for years, people like you, people like Matt Sanzala, Bobby Fats, Abdul Halim, Muhammad, a lot of the people that I've consistently appeared on their shows, I've actually been able to say, okay, well, you know what? It's trained me and taught me how to ask questions and how to just let the person who's talking get theirs out and cover the topics, not be one of those type of radio guests who are into controversy. I don't get into people's personal business or any controversies that they may be going through, and I think that's very important to respect the guests. So I learned from all of y'all, and now I'm just trying to mesh it together to be me.
And to do your own, thing. That's what makes K-Rena Radio unique. Is, you know, it gives the people another, you know, visualization not only of you, but of your love for the music as well. You know, because people always wonder, like, okay, man, like, you know, like who did Michael Jordan, you know, look up to playing basketball, or who did, you know, what I'm saying, who did Eric Clapton, you know, listen to playing guitar, or, you know what I'm saying, and cats want to know that stuff.
Right, no doubt.
There. You recently interviewed, you know, saying former boxing champion Reggie Johnson. That was, was that the 21st?
Yeah, that was last week,
it like interviewing sports legends, man? I always find that real fun to do.
Well, me being a sports fan, you know, it's great for me. And he's the first sports guy that I've had on my show. And it's great because I'm into all types of sports. If it's, of course, you know, I'm NBA all day, but I'm familiar with any of the major three sports. And then you include boxing, and I'm definitely familiar. I mean, I'm a student of the game, historian on all that stuff. So to have Reggie on, and knowing his history and all of the guys that he's fought, you know, this man's fought Roy Jones and James Toney and the Tarver, all the greats, Hall of Fame fighters. Yeah, and held his own, you know. So the thing is, it's like when you got a guy like that on your show and time has kind of passed him by, but time has kind of made the people forget who he is. You know, a newer generation has passed because he hasn't fought in probably a decade or so. So what happens is it gives me an opportunity to familiarize or to reintroduce him to the people
like
who either haven't heard of him or haven't heard of him in a while. And I love doing that because in every city there are legends and greats and pioneers, and we don't always tend to know them. And what that does is it takes it puts people in a mind frame like, okay, well, I didn't know that was a three-time world champion straight out of Fifth Ward from our city, you know. We didn't know that Clyde Drexler was from South Park, and he went to Sterling High School and things of that nature. So we have to uplift the people that come from our own city to give inspiration to the youngsters coming up to say, well, this dude, he's from the same blocks I'm from. He did it. I can do it, too.
That's dope as hell, man. You know who I interviewed last year or earlier this year? The son of Tommy Morrison.
Right.
And you know,
see, I didn't even know he had a son, yeah.
Yeah, he man, and you know what's crazy? He's a fighter. He's got the left hook like his dad, and he's I think he's 15-0, all 15 knockouts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
hit,
one-hitter quitter like Tyson already. So, I mean, the heavyweight division is starting to explode. You got, you know, Wilder, Fury. That was a great showing right there. What did you think? Did you see any of that fight?
Yeah, I saw the whole fight. And like I said, like you said, the heavyweight division, it is starting to pique people's interest again because for years the heavyweight division has just been dry. And people have actually just been more gravitating towards the weight class with Floyd and Pacquiao and all those guys, Canelo and all those guys, are because that's where the competition has been in the past few years. The heavyweight division hadn't been great since the Tysons, the Holyfields, and Lennox Lewis has kind of filtered out of the game. So it's always good for the sport because as great as boxing is, it's nothing more exciting for the boxing fans is when the heavyweight division is popping. You know, that's the top shelf. When that heavyweight division is popping, that's when everybody is really into it. So,
yeah, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're kind of disappointed with the Canelo Triple G thing, you know. So now they're looking at this heavyweight division. You got a lot of contenders, a lot of people creeping up. It's looking good. It's looking good. And for those who don't know, you know what I'm saying, another famous boxer from Houston, Texas, Willie D. Willie D, he had a few fights under his belt, you know. That's what I'm talking about right there. So you got, you know, you got your hands full. You're constantly, you know, doing the music. You got the radio. You got the, you know, YouTube popping off. But most importantly, you consistently do work in the community, and you just straight up help people, man. And I really take my hat off and salute you for that. You know what I'm saying? Tell us about some of the things that you guys got going, like with ARC and different things, you know what I'm saying, where people could, you know, lend a helping hand in any of the things that you're doing.
Yeah, man. ARC is the organization, and it stands for Artists Respecting Community, and it started off just a bunch of rappers trying to figure out ways to be a presence in the community, and it's grown now to where we kind of have found our purpose. We're getting organized. We're not where we want to be, but we're on that path. We've had a lot of people to join on. We have a lot of people to have negative outlooks on it as well, because people tend to have this feeling like as soon as you say you're going to start something up, they expect it to just blow up overnight. And it shows a lot of ignorance in people, but we try to focus on the positive sides of it. We've been blessed, man. We've had initiatives where we've gone out and fed the homeless on many occasions. We've had initiatives where we've had given blankets out, toy drives, things of that nature. So it's all about just servicing whatever need presents itself. And I think that it's an example that, that a lot of people should follow, not just artists, but I challenge the artists to do it because that's the field I'm in. But we put that out for every city. Hey, look, if y'all want to do something like we do in Jackson, Mississippi, or wherever, Orlando, Florida, wherever you're located, just go for it. You don't have to wait on somebody to give you permission to do good. And, you know, Mr. Farrakhan has been our example of just deciding that, hey, we're going to go out and just service the need of our people. And it's not just about giving material items and things of that nature. It's also based around giving your time to young people and people who otherwise may not have outlets, like kind of like the Big Brother program, where you see young brothers in the streets that need guidance. Hey, man, I'm going to the gym today. You want to roll with us? Y'all, come on, y'all roll with us. And that's a few extra hours that could possibly keep somebody out of the streets, you know, and things of that nature. So it's so many different aspects and so many different ways to be effective and to be to make a difference out here. And we owe it to our community. The community owes us nothing. And that's the mistake a lot of people make. They don't owe us anything. We owe them, you know, plain and simple. And if we take on that mindset as being a servant of the community, then it becomes a part of who you are. It becomes a part of your DNA. You just get up and do it because it needs to be done.
Most definitely, most definitely. I want to give you the floor here in a minute, but before I do, I know the homie Sin from France, he definitely wants to holler at you.
No doubt.
Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, Carino. So.
Hey, man. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, I was there for support. Yeah, I got a question about your... In fact, it's not very question. It's on your album, Then and Now. We can see on the cover your first album, Coming Out of Dugging, with Dope E. And it's in 1988, and now it's 30 years later. We can see the achievements you did from the back in the day. Can you tell us about this time and old time ever?
Yeah, the first thing to that is just, I'm amazed at how fast the 30 years seems to have passed, man, because when you talk about, like, the COD album,
yes, sir.
I can remember so much about that project and us putting it together. I can remember like it was yesterday. And even just whether it be my first album 20 years ago, 10 years ago, there's certain things that you just remember like they were yesterday, and it makes you realize how quick that time flew. And it's amazing to me, man. So when you look at that cover, and even before it was an album cover, you kind of scroll through pictures sometime, and it's like it takes you on a journey. You know, I'm always amazed at just the journey of this whole thing, man, just the progression. That's the beauty of those photographs, is that it gives you opportunity to, it serves as a time marker to show you where you've come.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Another thing of the covers of S Project and Lightning Language, it looked like a psychedelic rock. The image, who got the ID? It was you who got the ID of the cover.
Now, which albums were those?
Our S Project and Lightning Language.
Oh, yeah,
cover,
yeah.
That was Jay
Walker. All four of those covers have a certain look to them, a certain feel to them. They just look different. They have, like you say, they have like a, it's hard to even explain. It's like an old school type of feel. But once he presented all of them to me at the same time, I liked it because it just presented a totally different look than what people are accustomed to seeing from me. And every project I do, I want it to have its own identity. So if those four covers kind of look similar to some stuff I did before, or they were kind of in the same vein as the seven, then it wouldn't be right. So once I looked at them, I was like, yeah, they got this feel to them, this texture to them that's different. And I appreciated that, because now they stand out from all my other projects. When you see one of those covers now, you go, oh, yeah, that's from the four-piece, you know.
Yeah, it's still original. And since your first album, you were original with a Pen & Pixel graphics touch in 1993 on your first album.
The Pen & Pixel days, they had their time, you know, but I was one of the first people who kind of branched away from the Pen & Pixel era, even when they were still hot, because I started noticing the repetition. I started noticing how all of the covers really looked alike and had that same feel to them. And that's what kind of made me say, you know what, I'm going to start doing something different, because my second album cover that I ever did solo was Danger Zone. And
yes, sir.
Pen & Pixel did that cover. But if you look at it, that's one of the few Pen & Pixel covers that didn't look like all the others, because I specifically told them, hey, I want this to have more of a natural look to it. And the only graphics, the only thing that was applied to that cover was an enhancement of the graffiti on my name. That was it. Other than that, everything was all natural, because I didn't want my album to look like every other album that came through there.
Yeah, you put your own touch.
Sure. Definitely stood out, man. You know, definitely classic. Man, Ken, as always, thank you, man, for coming on the show. I really appreciate you. But before we get out of here, I want to give you the floor. I know we got another caller. I want to take this caller real quick. This looks like Brooklyn. 917, you there?
Yes, sir. 917, Fred Stein in the building. How y'all doing, fam?
Fred Stein, Bed-Stein. How you doing, Fred?
Oh, man, I'm here. You know, man, got some stuff I'm going through, but, you know, I try to get in every time I can, man. So I just want to say, man, salute the king, man, and keep doing what you're doing, man, and keep it positive, man. You know what I mean? They pretty much need what you got for them, man, so go ahead and give it to them.
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate that's like just words like that are like putting gas in a car. It just adds more fuel, because it's great to be appreciated, bro. So I thank you, because I say all the time, if it wasn't for people like you and others, then I wouldn't have the motivation to continue on and do this. I'd be doing it as a hobby. So I'm thankful to you, man, straight up.
Man, salute you, bro.
Thank you, my
definitely. Brother. Definitely. Yeah, man, you take care of yourself, Fred Steinman and K Reno. Thanks again for coming on the show. Before we get out of here, though, I want you to, man, give them all your info so they can subscribe, follow, and definitely purchase and support.
No doubt, man. No doubt. You can always reach me on Twitter at The Real K Reno. My YouTube channel is The Real K Reno, and I'd love for all y'all to go and subscribe to the channel and check us out. I try to stay as consistent as possible. You can always hit me on Facebook. Just anywhere, any of the social media platforms. Only one I'm not on is Instagram. I may graduate to Instagram one day, but not yet. But I just thank y'all, man. If you want to pre-order the albums, you can go to www.southparkcoalition.net, and when you click Music Store, you'll see the four piece up there, and you'll be able to purchase it. And you don't have to get all four of them. You can get 1, 2, 3, 4. Work within your budget. And but if you're balling like that and you can get all four, then go for it. And it's much appreciated, because we're not like a lot of artists out here that just throw something out just to get your money. try to make sure that we feed you good. You know, you ever went to a restaurant and the bill came out and the bill was $100 and something, and it's just you and another person, and then you spent all this money, gave this big tip, and you still wasn't full. You were still hungry when you left the restaurant. You know, that's the worst feeling in the world. So we try not to do that with our music. If you come in and you support and you break bread, we feel confident that you're going to be not only full, but you're going to be well-nourished when you leave the table, man.
Most definitely, man. And I tell you what, everybody go out and support that. Get that four-piece project. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you pre-order right now, southparkcoalition.net. What is your show air again? You said it airs every Friday?
Yes, sir. K Reno Radio airs every Friday at 11 p.m. Central Time. And you can tune in at www.kpft.org. And just click Listen Live when you want to hear it. And you can call in, and all the information is on the website. Call in and talk to us, talk to our guests. We welcome all that. We welcome all that.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. Man, thanks again, K Reno. We'll be speaking to you soon in 2019, I'm very sure. You take care of yourself, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much. God bless y'all. Peace.
Yeah, much appreciation. We're going to close it out with this song, Flash Backwards. You know what I'm saying? This is off the Big 7. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, Sin and Fred Stein to call in. I just got word from X. He said he tried calling in. Boards must be screwing up as always. But that's Blog Talk Radio for you. Other than that, we had a great show. You know what I'm saying? Be on the lookout. There's a lot of projects coming. The homie D-Pain, he's got Bipolar. That's coming real soon. The League got a project on Bandcamp right now. Of course, that's you, Fred, Exit Only, and the homie Exclusive to Selecta. A lot of stuff coming in 2019.
Yes,
do you have a solo coming in 2019, Fred?
Yeah, I have actually two. I have one called The Purpose, and then I have another called Bars, Stories, and Wake Ups.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, man. Well, you know, we want to preview some of that, bring you on and chop it up about that for sure in the future. You know, and everybody, you know, just keep fucking with the show. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of stuff coming up. Tomorrow we got the homies from Indiana, the Super Smash Brothers. They got a new project that's dropping tomorrow night. So, you know, we'll see you guys real soon. UGSforLife.com.